We basically just started because we realized no one else was doing it.
Yeah,
And we
yeah.
thought, like, we need to cater to this audience.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. So how's your not your readership, your what do you call
Maybe
your
listenership.
yeah, is that what they call it?
I'm just guess. We do not bad. We strangely enough, whenever we look at our statistics, our very first show is always the most popular.
Oh,
But
really?
I'm and that's just me talking for 10 minutes, myself, like petrified.
Oh, look, you're doing a good job. I listened to some of those shows. I'm like going, yeah, you know, this is the most important thing I learned in my life. You know, I mean, everyone was a kid. I wanted to be in movies. And the thing is this. I mean, I lived back in Maryland, and I didn't know anything about this business, but I wanted to be here. But the thing, yeah, most important thing is following your bliss in life. If you love Hong Kong films, you know, you'd love it with a passion, and don't give, you know, don't let anybody tell you that what you're doing is stupid. You know, you got to follow your bliss because this is following your spirit and your heart. You know, yeah. And when I was a kid, you know, I hate to say this, but when I was a kid, I grew up in a mainly Caucasian neighborhood, and I got every day I was felt. Yeah, I knew I was an Asian, you know, a yellow skinned guy in a white neighborhood, and it didn't. I wasn't made to feel very comfortable. So what I did subconsciously was that, you know, I would drive down to the. I mean, I take the bus. I was 12 years old. I'd take the bus down to the black theaters where they'd show Kung Fu movie and a black exploitation movie. And I watched that every weekend, you know, with my friends, you know, a couple of my friends. And watching those movies kind of empowered me, you know, taught me to, because here I was, oh, you know, I'd be, you know, 5 days a week, you know, just, eh, you're this, you're that, you're less than this and that, da 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 da. And then when I watched those movies, I would see somebody that was on the screen that was looked kind of like me. I was like, oh, wow, this is, you know, I'm an okay person, you know, I'm, you know, it's just the situation I'm in at the time. So I mean, it was those movies like that got me through, you know. And you just got to follow your bliss. I mean, and who would have? I mean, I wouldn't have imagined that I've been here. But you know, when I look back at the steps I take. You know, it wasn't a direct line, but it's just something I was like, wow, yeah, you know, I did follow my bliss, no matter what anybody said. I mean, yeah, everybody. I mean, I watched Kung Fu movies as a kid, and back in those days, Kung Fu movies were like maybe half a notch above porn. You know, that's the way how people saw it. They go, oh God, really? You're in it? You know, now they're considered classics. All those movies I saw, you know, the. You know, 36 Chamber Shaolin, all that stuff, and you know, now everybody's into it. It's like, wow, I was way ahead of my time, you know. Yeah, I mean, but that's not, you know, that's not why you should do it. But you know, you gotta do what, you gotta do what do you call it? What makes you feel good, you know? Besides drugs and crack and no,
Aye.
but
We make time for both.
yeah. Okay. All right. No, but you know what I mean. You
Aye.
gotta follow your bliss. You gotta, you know, no matter what anybody tells you, it's like a Rocky story. You know, we all have that in us, which is, I think, why we all kind of, you know, see ourselves a little bit in that person. It kind of inspires hope, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you gotta. Yeah, this is great. That's great that you guys are doing this because, you know, Hong Kong cinema is slowly dying, and it's people like you that's keeping it alive. Yeah, so you guys gotta follow your bliss on this, and you know, because you're helping them out, whether you realize it or not, you know.
And it's
Yeah,
great because with the forum, we've actually kind of got in contact with a lot of people of, well, that we've never heard of. Because when there is selected like Hong Kong cinema websites, and when you visit the forums, it's usually the same 10 people. And for this, we've got through to like a whole new crowd.
Wow,
So.
that's yeah. You know, there's some things that were meant to be, and I think this is one of those things. That's awesome, man. I'm so honored to be on the show with you guys. So,
Oh, I did. It's an honor to talk to you, so.
okay, no, yeah. You can leave everything else, but just leave out what I told you about this.
Sure,
You
no
know,
problem.
yeah.
One last thing before you leave. Ken's encouraging me to get you to record a spot for us.
Sure, what do you want me to say?
Well, let's see. Ken's got one for himself. He encouraged to record one for each of us, but I think if you just do this one for Ken, it'll be ace. It basically just reads, "Hi, I'm John Kring, and I like to listen to podcasts on fire because Ken's one filthy fucker."
You want me to say one filthy? I can say that, fucker.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Oh, okay. Hold on, 1 second. I'm writing this down so I can, like I'm a goddamn actor.
Okay. Aye, on iTunes, we're listed as explicit. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. What? Say it again. Hi, my name is. Hi, I'm John Kring.
And I like listening to Podcast on Fire because Ken's one filthy fucker.
Okay. I can't say bugger, right? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Hi, I'm John Kring, and I listen... Okay, I'm sorry. Hi, I'm John Kring, and I listen to Podcast on Fire because Ken is one filthy fucker.
Brilliant. Cheers.
Yo, how about this? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Let me try this one more time. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm John Kring. I like to listen to Podcasts on Fire because Ken is one filthy fucker. He likes it with KY jelly and cayenne pepper. That's how filthy a fucker he is.
Oh, fuck.
How's that?
He'll love that. Don't worry.
You know how filthy a fucker Ken is? He'll poke your eye out and fuck that hole.
Oh. Oh, Christ. You would get that printed on a t-shirt.
Oh, go for it. Yeah, you know, I saw Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, so what's your take on it?
I loved it. I thought it was Quentin's best movie since Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. Arguably, yeah.
Oh, great. I've not had a chance to see that one yet, but...
Has it been released your neck of the woods yet?
Yeah, I think it actually came out a week before it did in America, strangely enough. But, yeah, I've just never had the chance to get out for it yet, so...
Yeah.
Bloody life commitments.
I loved it. I was just like, wow. You know, there's a payoff. There's, you know, the guy who played the SS leader, they called him the Jew Hunter. I forgot his name, but he was incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, Quentin can get as graphic as he wants to be, which is, you know, what we're known to seeing. But, yeah. And then the other day, unfortunately, I saw G.I. Joe. And, you know, the thing was, you couldn't see any of the action. It was just, you know, it was focused on their chest or their elbow, and I was like, guys, I knew the fight choreographer on it was Marcus Young, and I was like going, I know Marcus, he can put together some great fight scenes, but I couldn't see it, unfortunately. You know, it was like, I mean, I talked to some friends that are not into... that don't work in the business, and they go, wow, that was a, you know, there's some incredible fight scenes. I go, how can you say that when you didn't see a thing? You know, you saw something, but you didn't see much. Yeah, I was just like, God, you know, I mean, I love popcorn movies, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, the hardest thing for me when I watch a movie is, you know all the tricks and the angles and, you know, what, you know, all that stuff. And the thing is I love action films. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be the first one to go see G.I. Joe, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, I want to see what they can do. I mean, that's how you learn, you know. I'll watch everything that's out there. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, when you see this, you go, like, oh, man, and they just, you know, the camera was too close, and they edited it, you know, like, you know, you're just like, why'd they edit there, and why, you know, it just didn't make sense, mm-hmm. you know. So it just, you know, it's like, oh, man, I was so sad. I was so disheartened every time I see those things. Yeah, but you know, I mean, I catch a lot of stuff on DVD and stuff like that. I mean, I loved it, man. Yeah, I mean, I loved it overall. I loved it. There's some scenes I had some issues with, but overall, I loved it. Like, you know, the fight with the Northerner when Donnie Yen had the fight with the Northern. That was a great fight.
Is it Fan Su Wong?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was a... Oh, I love that fight. I mean, talk about nonverbal dialogue.
Aye,
you
definitely.
Know, you, yeah, the way he fell. I mean, it was when he draped the chair. I mean, that, you know, it's embarrassing. You know, it's like, oh my God, he lost face when he fell that way. You know, it's just like, and it was funny because you were laughing at the guy like that. You're just like, oh geez. And what I loved about that movie was, I mean, especially that fight scene was, you know, here he was, Donnie was trying to be this gentleman, you know, and not, you know, just try to keep it a civil fight like the fight before with that master. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you saw the personality of the northern fighter. He didn't care. He had no respect for anything, and you saw that before. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing I feel about, you know, creating a fight scene, that it has to be extension of that character. Mm-hmm. Some people don't even think about that because, oh, you know, well, let me see, put together a fight scene. No, but you got to know about that character during the non-dialogue sequence, during the non-action sequences, and that extends into the action scene. And it was a great extension of that person's character. He didn't care about anybody's property. He just came in there to take it over, just like his approach to every other person in school is just his mentality, and it manifested itself in a non-verbal way. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about it was, when his son stole in the little in the
yeah,
truck, it's his
he
mom.
Cycles
mom
in.
He says, "Yes, what do you say? Something like, what's that?
It's something about breaking the vase, and the mom knows about it."
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, or I think it was like, "Mom says you better start fighting back, or you're gonna lose all the something like that."
Aye.
He goes, "Oh, yeah." So he starts fighting again. Yeah, it was just like, "Oh man,"
the dialogue exchange was great. Where it was like,
yeah,
you just laughed and it was like a little rascal, and Donnie Yen with a straight face is like, "Watch your mouth."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, I absolutely love that fight scene, because the thing is, and here he takes out that broadsword and starts going at him, and he beats him with a feather duster. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it shows you everything you need to know about that character without having to use dialogue.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's master fight choreography. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's just incredible stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I get excited every time I watch stuff like that. It just inspires me to, you know, to create stuff like that myself.
So, recommended for that scene, but really, not much else goes on, and Ching Miao miscast is kind of sad to see, because you know, she's always given a favorable impression to me as a, you know, interesting, beautiful person to look at in movies, look at as being you know, her career was clearly controlled by Wong Jing, so it's kind of interesting to look at that. And finally, when she broke away from Wong Jing and made Stanley Kwan's Hold Me Tight, which is a drama, and she's very good in that. She looks old. Also, I mean, the character is sort of supposed to be very old, but she's not glamorous anymore. And she was really good in Hold You Tight, Hold You Tight, and that's a recommendation. Even that will be her only, you know, good dramatic performance. That's still it will be forever. It will stay forever, and. Lover of the Last Empress, that scene will certainly stay in people's minds forever, but otherwise the movie is not a must, even for the diehard Andrew Lau fan. Mm-hmm. But after having seen that scene, are you keen to watch it as a completist of Andrew Lau's body of work? Stu, be honest.
I think I could give this one a miss.
Maybe that scene was only in like the Taiwan print, but I doubt it, mm-hmm. Because they would allow it in Hong Kong still. I mean, it's not too much for censors. The sperm joke in Raped by an Angel, by the way, didn't involve sperm, but I think King Dong-yoon, I don't know, simulated having sperm in her mouth or something in Raped by an Angel. And she was kind of wacky there as well. I mean, King Dong-yoon is, you know, very good looking and can be a good dramatic actress, but she can be a grating presence as well, you know, a big, certified, wacky, crazy Hong Kong comedy presence. I watched that naughty film. by the way, Tony Lungafa co-stars in Lover of the Last Empress, and Lao Shun and Ku Feng and Valerie Chow, people like that. So certainly a good cast, but forgettable.
Thankfully.
It will take a while, but sometime it will be it will be forgettable. Hey, Stu. Mm-hmm.
Mentioning Franzisen, Tracing Shadows about to come out on DVD, isn't it?
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited, Kenneth?
Absolutely. I mean, played very well in China at the box office, and I spoke to Mike Lee there, and he said the feedback he got from China from his friends there is that it's very good, very off the wall, but very good.
Looks like a good one to me. I'm excited to watch it.
So yeah, I'm going to try and review that.
Mm-hmm. I got spammed email about that a couple of days ago. Is this supposed to be a kung fu comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a spoof of kung fu films.
Aye, with Jace Chow as the lead.
Yacy Chan.
J.C. Chan, yeah.
Not
yeah.
me, but
oh,
Yacy
I said,
Chan.
Oh, I said, wait, did I just combine the two?
J.C. Chow.
Chow. Well, yeah, because I remember, in fact, when I did a review roundup before, if I remember, a while back, I did Tracing Shadow.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that the trailer, J.C. Chan, looked just like his dad.
Yeah.
And I know, and then Stu said smartly, well, he is his son. But, I mean... You know, he was playing a very he was playing a very Jackie Chan kind of role, and he looked just like his dad. It was quite freaky.
The trailer was very funny because they showed these different like hard kung fu shots, and then on the screen it says, "No, that's not Jet Li. No, this is not that star either. No, that's not Jackie Chan." You know, they sort of made a spoof of. I don't know. They just had fun with the trailer and they put those words in English on screen. Save the best for last. Frozen. Looking very like tired and nonchalant like he can do at times. So the trailer certainly had the right spirit about it rather than like a quickly cut trailer to just get out on the web and stuff like that. So I'm excited. Thanks for bringing up that, Mike, because I might have missed that and got wind of it many years later. Something like that. No, I don't think that, but you know, it's been a low key release in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I was surprised it's come out on DVD. I just saw the news a few days ago while Tracing Shadows had been released, and I was like, "But yeah, well, I'd forgot it had even gone out in the cinemas."
Mm.
Kind of hasn't really caused much of a splash on the internet for some reason.
But didn't Who Am I have one of those actresses akin to Mr. Nice Guy? You know, this Western girl that you just, oh my God, this is face palm inducing acting. You know, they got them from the same acting bad acting school,
mm-hmm.
like Mr. Nice Guy. This
would
annoying
be...
reporter.
Yeah,
would that be Michelle Ferrer?
I don't know.
Ferrer.
It's the ones that have only happened to have starred in one movie. That you know, so I've never went on to do anything else. Like, so how the hell did they end up in this movie in the first place? So you think if it was people Benny Chan was sleeping with at the time ended up getting casted in his movies?
I think Mr. Nice Guy is underrated.
Yeah, that is fun, but three very annoying women in it.
Jackie!
I think that is... Yeah, it is a good film because it's got the one of the most memorable cameos from Sammo Hung.
The Bike Messenger.
Yes.
No, yeah, yeah.
The visually blinding, was it not multicolored spandex he was wearing or some shit?
I remember seeing that in the cinema when I was in America ages ago, and it was one of those screenings, you know, where cinema was loud. So even during the dialogue and stuff, you couldn't hear anything because people were in such a good mood and they really lit up during the action scenes, which are very fun in Mr. Nice Guy. It's this fight at the construction site with saws and stuff. So, I mean, Mr. Nice Guy, I fairly like. If that had been an attempt at a serious drama like this thriller, I think that would be very embarrassing. Because they didn't have the personnel to make a serious movie. They wisely made a fun movie.
So getting back to track, let's see. Ken, anything else about Son on the Run?
No, nothing else about that. But I just want to throw out there briefly, a bit controversial maybe. I watched The Host the other day.
Okay.
Not for me. That movie tried a bit too much, and I was expecting it to try a lot at the same time, but it didn't click with me being like this black comedy, monster movie, family drama. It was touching at points, but so solid 3 out of 5, if you want to grade it, but no, that didn't click for me. I liked the monster action, especially the start of the movie. But otherwise, the host, no. I sum it up as not for me.
Oh, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I'd give that 4 out of 5 if I was going to rate it.
Yeah, I think it started off with 5 out of 5 when I saw it in the cinema. It was just by luck, and it was the fact that I knew nothing else about it than the fact it was a Korean monster movie. I knew there was a monster, and I knew it was Korean. Knew nothing about it, and it was that just happened to be the only thing starting at the time that would be worth seeing. And it blew like the 5 of us away. We're like, because we had no opinion formed like beforehand. Because like by this time, the film has been out for a while. Ken, you've heard these opinions about it. You've heard folk rave.
It's kind of hard to avoid that. But I always try to go in, you know, turn it off as best I can. But I obviously knew it got high ratings. But I judged it on its own merits, and it is my personal view, obviously.
So yeah, that's unfortunate nowadays, because you've heard a standard to it, and you'll watch it to, well, I usually watch it to expect the standard. Mm. And that was the thing that surprised me so much with the good, the bad, and the weird, because I heard the standard, went in with the standard, and it achieved exactly what I wanted it to achieve. So I was fairly pleased.
On a side note, just to compare like a Korean movie that does many things emotionally at one time, Save the Green Planet I loved, which might be a bad example, but that is all over the map emotionally. You know, it's violent, it's gory, it's funny as hell, goofy, and it's so very sad.
Yeah.
For real. I mean, it's not sad for this, you know, it's not the goofy sad, it's not the sad with a wink at its audience, it's really, really tragic. And for me, that's, you know, it's one of my favorite Korean movies, therefore.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I've got it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Where's my shot glass?
See, I've only seen Jackie Jung in kind of light-hearted comedy films and rom-com type stuff. I mean, how did his acting hold up? Because it sounds quite a weighty film.
His acting was kind of reserved, his character doesn't give too much away. You can tell that he's being drawn into this world, that this young student that he kind of falls for, and it kind of brings a new spark back into his personality. Mm-hmm. As a performance, it was fantastic. Yeah, brilliant.
I've got another question as well.
Yeah.
Most of the time, having a hobby for Asian films means watching them on DVD or occasionally VCD or even more, you know, rarely VHS or Laserdisc or something. So it's unusual to get a film like July Rhapsody at the cinema. Did it actually make any difference to the experience having it on the big screen?
Actually, I should mention that the actual auditorium was really small. The Corner House doesn't really have any huge auditoriums. It's a kind of three really small cinemas. And this film was actually on DVD. It was a projection of a DVD.
Okay.
A bit of a cop-out, you might say, but...
It didn't come up with the menu at the end, did it?
No, it didn't. Luckily, whoever was in the projection room timed it just right so that... I mean, briefly, before the film started, it kind of said... DVD player, but
I'm
not sure that I would have known if it wasn't for that. Maybe the lack of crackles in the film, it needed a touch of remastering some of the light levels, but yeah, I don't think I'd have known that it was a DVD if I hadn't seen that it was a DVD before it started.
Always nice to have 35mm, but
yeah,
if you can't, then better to have the film on than not at all. It's not as bad as when I went to Senai in Birmingham and watched Hapkido, the Angela Mao film, and they screened a bootleg DVD. They didn't even have the HKL one.
Oh, because that would have been out by that time.
Yeah, well, it was just about to come out, which is why they were screening it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. They showed the bootleg version.
Lovely.
How long ago was that?
2 years? When
did Hapkido come out? Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, right.
2007, I think it would have been.
I saw Fist of Fury once at a Bruce Lee convention, and this must have been mid-90s. And it was the first time that many people in the room had seen the uncut version, so that suddenly when he pulls out his nunchucks, there was a gasp in the audience. Everyone was dead excited.
Ah, brilliant.
And then at the end of it, some guy turns up with a carrier bag full of bootleg Bruce Lee videos. And
I just go, all right, who wants a copy?
Like Del Boy.
Yeah.
All right, then, speaking of Asian films at the cinema, this Friday, released in the UK, is Ong Bak, The Beginning, which is Ong Bak 2 with a slight change of title.
You're fucking joking me.
No.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited to go and see this.
Comes out this Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The Beginning.
Ong Bak, The Beginning.
After the first one.
It's going to be awesome. I've got the Thai limited edition-y DVD thing that came with the T-shirt, but obviously that's got no subtitles. And as far as I know, the only legit release with subtitles at the moment is the Korean DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can't wait. Tony Jaa on the big screen. Oh, it's going to be good.
Does it seem like a prequel to you, Mike? I mean, I know they were going to call it Ong Bak 2 over here, but, I mean, does it have that prequel sort of...
Not at all.
Right.
It's... We want to do Ong Bak 2 because Ong Bak made lots of money. Let's, you know, we've got this story. Let's attempt to make a tenuous link to Ong Bak. What I read before is that there's a statue featured in it, the Ong Bak statue from the first one.
Right.
That same one is in this film, but this was set like hundreds of years before the original Ong Bak.
Movie magic right there, likes.
About as tenuous as sequels get, mm-hmm. or prequels, I think. No, it's just an excuse to put Ong Bak on the title, that's all.
Yep, yep.
But that didn't bother me. It's an old school kung fu film. That's one of the things I love about it.
Mm.
The plot's not exactly meaty, but you know it's about revenge and you know loyalty and honor, and there's Buddhist kind of elements to it. And it looks nice as well. I think Tony Jaa showing a little bit of promise behind the lens. There's some great action, especially towards the end. Dan Chu Pong is in it, and he's going to be in the third one. Who, if you don't know Dan Chu Pong, he's the guy from Born to Fight. The dude's got some serious skills of his own. And Tony Jaa wrestles a live fucker.
Okay, you're going to have to say that bit all again because it got to fuck and cut right out.
What? The bit about Tony Jaa wrestling a live fucking alligator.
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, if that doesn't make you want to go to the cinema, then there's something wrong. I think you know, check your pulse to see if you're still alive. I think Tony Jaa, this might be worldwide, I was having a little think about this, but I think he's the only kind of film star that, regardless of, you know, I don't even care if the film gets stinky reviews or what the film's about, I'm going to buy the DVD, even when it's got no subtitles, as soon as it comes out, and I'm going to go to the cinema whenever I get the opportunity on the first night. I just can't get enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a throwback to a time we haven't been in for quite a while in terms of martial arts action stars.
Indeed.
You haven't had that feeling for a number of years.
Well, I imagine if I was, you know, this kind of age, or, you know, when Jackie Chan was at his peak and Police Story was just about to come out, I've got a feeling I'd be straight down the cinema to watch it.
Yeah.
Maybe even a couple of times, seeing as I wouldn't be able to have a DVD back in the day. But yeah, I can't wait. It's just, it's exciting. I think, in terms of action anyway, in terms of action cinema, easily the most exciting person in the world.
And Dickie Chung is a close second.
Dae-ho Wong, mate.
Yeah.
It's all about the Dae-ho now. Now I've discovered him.
Dickie and Dae-ho. But Dickie Chung has started doing action now. That's why I mentioned it. Or being doubled in action. But he's like an action lead now. Like 10 years ago, he was, you know, a drooling idiot with a pacifier in his mouth in movies like Black Panther Warriors.
Wasn't he in that, The Champions? Was he in that?
Yeah, exactly.
The Choi Soo Ming film?
Yeah. So it's a strange career turnaround. But I guess Tony Jaa need not worry. You're not going to be outdone by a guy called Dickie.
Also, I feel like I should get a bit of credit for watching this film. Because I genuinely only watched it to talk about it on this show, and it is really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. So it's about Francis Ng is like some mad killer who works.
This is rough and live. Go ahead.
Who claims to be working for the devil? Who is that? Oh man, you can tell who you know. You can tell who the seasoned pod veterans aren't. God damn it! I want some professionalism around here.
Talking about a bad movie.
Yeah.